So I've been using this term kingdom consciousness for a little while, and I want to do a little discussion on exactly what we mean when we use that term. So a few weeks ago, we talked about self-attention, Ramana Maharshi's primary practice that was given to those who asked Ramana, "How do I realize the self like you have?" And Ramana would give them this instruction to keep their attention as often as possible on the truth of their being, the I am, and give as little attention to the mind and the ego. And if you do that long enough, it will dissolve the ego construct and you'll be left only with a constant, effortless, abiding awareness of the true self, the I am. So this practice is like extraordinarily simple and seemingly complicated, right? Because it's almost as if we don't really know when we're doing it, even when we are placing our attention on our awareness of being, on our I am. Even when we do it, the mind is trying to chirp in the background, right? "I don't think you're really doing it. I don't know if this is it. I think if you were really doing it right, there'd be a more grandiose experience happening, right? If you're not in this like blissed out state, then you're not actually practicing self-attention." And that's, of course, not true, right? But the tricky part is to come up with a perspective that handles those arguments from the mind, that dispel the arguments from the mind. Because really, it is so extraordinarily simple that we definitely overlook it, right? We complicate it and we make it like some difficult practice when in fact, you're always, in a sense, always aware of the I am, because everything that you do, every action you take, every thought you think, every feeling you have, there is an I who's claiming it. There's an I who's experiencing it, and you always know that I. So really, we're not saying to do something you're not already doing, so to speak. More so, what we're saying is stop doing all the unnecessary stuff and just be as you are. Just abide in being throughout your day. Dismiss unnecessary thoughts, ignore unnecessary thoughts, and keep your heart, your love, your devotion on the truth of self. So that's what kingdom consciousness is. But kingdom consciousness is a way we can see this practice in a way that allows us to collapse the duality a little bit easier. So the approach that we teach here in 4D University about what duality is and how we collapse duality is by understanding this distinction between my inner world and my outer world, and then slowly collapsing the distinction between those two. The world you experience is yourself, but it doesn't appear to be, because as A Course in Miracles says, you're in a dream world that you've created, a dream world of separation. And so we can wake up from that dream of separation by collapsing the distance between inner world and outer world. And so, in that sense, if you're not seeing the kingdom, then you're seeing the dream world, right? Because in reality, everything happens instantaneously. So, there's really not a degree to which you're in between those two at any time. You're either in one or the other, right? That's the course's kind of big distinction of the thought system of separation or the thought system of unity. You can't be in both at the same time because they cancel one another out. So we discussed this yesterday for those of you who are in LTC. In our Friday Q&A call at the end, we were kind of touching on this topic that the mistake we make about the dream world is we think that the actual forms that we're seeing are the dream. And so we are to deny form, we're to dismiss form, or maybe even to invalidate form. That's the extreme end of like non-duality, neo-advaita. All form is a total illusion, a dream. Don't pay any attention to it. And so we're not teaching that here in 4D University, because forms are not the dream, right? Physicality, the 3D universe that we experience through the five senses, that's not the dream. Our interpretation of form is the dream, right? Your perception of form as being separate from yourself is the dream that God did not make. The Course says, God did not create the world that you see. So the end of the world, as the Course says, the end of the world is not its destruction, aka its denial, its dismissal, its ignorance. The end of the world is not its destruction, but its translation into heaven. And that's the journey from ego consciousness to kingdom consciousness. In Matthew and Luke, the disciples ask Jesus this really important question. They say, Lord, tell us when your kingdom shall appear, and by what signs shall we know it's coming? And in Matthew and Luke, Jesus says something to the effect of, you will not see signs of its coming. You know, the birds of the air will not announce it to you, but the kingdom of heaven is within you. And furthermore, the kingdom of heaven is already at hand, Jesus says. But in the Gospel of Thomas, Jesus gives an even more remarkable reply. So in the Gospel of Thomas, the disciples ask Jesus, Lord, tell us when your kingdom shall appear, and by what signs will we know it's coming? And in the Gospel of Thomas, Jesus says, when the two become one, when the outside becomes as the inside. So Jesus is talking about this collapsing of duality, the difference between my thoughts and feelings and perceptions and the environment I experience in the world, right? That we, like, events happen in our surrounding, and then we interpret those events through thoughts and feelings and perceptions. But actually, that is one self. There aren't two separate things happening there. So Jesus says, when the inside becomes as the outside, the kingdom of heaven shall appear. And the kingdom of heaven is perfection. In the kingdom of heaven, there is no imperfection at all, right? There's no disharmony of any kind. There's just perfect unity. So we can't truly know ourselves until we know the universe as it truly is, which requires us not to deny it and dismiss it, but to see it as God appearing. God apparently loves to create forms, right? Because God's creating infinite varieties of forms forever and ever and ever, all throughout the universe. So for us to dismiss something as invalid, not necessary, I mean, that's a pretty arrogant thing to do, don't you think? Who am I to say I should dismiss all these forms I'm seeing if God apparently loves to create forms so much? There must be a deeper purpose for the world of form that we see. It must be here to awaken our consciousness and illuminate it with the awareness of the kingdom. So again, if I'm going to do this practice of self-attention, how can I place my attention on something if I don't even really know what it is? Now, yes, we can just say everyone knows the I am feeling, so just place your attention on the I am feeling. But that practice will continue to feel hard and challenging for us until we understand what it implies about the universe we live in, which is absolute perfection. So we are already walking in the perfect universe. To be aware of perfection is self-attention. To be aware of perfection anywhere is self-attention. Because again, there is no outside versus inside world. The outside world is yourself, just as much as the inside world is. So if you're noticing and appreciating and enjoying and loving the perfection of the universe around you, the perfection of a water drop, all the intelligence contained in a drop of water, the intelligence and perfection in every cell of my body, in the blade of grass, like, we're watching this marvelous intelligence at work everywhere in perfect cooperation, and we can tune into it, right? We can tune into that perfection and start to fall in love with it. And as we love the kingdom of heaven, we become aware of it, right? We said in the kingdom, all citizens are the Christ. So if I want entry into that kingdom, if I want to be a citizen of the kingdom, I have to know the Christ in myself, and I have to see the Christ in everyone else. The kingdom of heaven doesn't have any citizens who are sinners and prodigals or lacking or imperfect in some way. So if I'm seeing imperfection around me anywhere in any way, I'm not seeing the kingdom. I'm not in kingdom consciousness, right? So to be aware of perfection is self-attention, but really reality can no more be imperfect or commit an error than the laws of mathematics could, right? The laws of mathematics we know are perfect and infallible and immutable. So we never question the laws of mathematics when we're solving an equation that we keep getting the wrong answer. We just know, well, I'm still not seeing the laws of math perfectly yet. So we should apply that same standard to reality, in that all reality is math, right? The universe of form is everything in the universe can be deduced down to math. And we know this to be a fact. So if the whole universe is math and math is perfect, then we have to recognize that we are already walking in a perfect universe, the finished kingdom, right? Nothing left undone or incomplete. So kingdom consciousness is to know that there's never anything less than perfection occurring in God's universe at any time. So if we think we're seeing an imperfection or an error taking place, we have distorted reality. A Course in Miracles says, twist reality in any way and you are perceiving it destructively. So we don't want to twist reality by seeing mistakes, imperfections, and flaws happening. So as we practice kingdom consciousness, it's really this practice of noticing wherever the mind, the ego, is implying that errors are happening. Mistake, that shouldn't be happening, this shouldn't be happening, or something else I wish should be happening instead of what's happening right now. These are the ways that ego is implying that the laws of math are imperfect, right? That reality is imperfect in some way, and I could fix it if I was in control. Anytime we notice the mind is implying imperfection, we consciously correct it in that moment. We remember that we're already in the kingdom, where everything is perfectly harmonious, always. And so you apply that standard to the error the ego is implying to you. So it's not necessarily enough just to do this practice of correcting these errors. It's a huge step, but if we really want to integrate kingdom consciousness, which is self-attention, if we want to always be aware of God's perfect universe, then consciously correcting those errors is one way, masculine way, of doing that, but we need its feminine counterpart. What is the feminine counterpart of that practice? Well, it would have to be feeling that you're in the kingdom, right? It's really not enough to just say to yourself over and over, I'm in a perfect universe. I'm in the kingdom already. The kingdom is within me now. It's not enough to just say that until you start also feeling it to be true, right? We must feel its fullness in our heart as a constant and abiding sense of peace and wholeness and inner assurance. We have to allow our inner being to reveal it to us through feelings. We have to feel the safety of that kingdom, the peace and perfection of that kingdom. And that comes with time and practice, but it's like as long as we're still feeling separate, we're not fully seeing the kingdom yet, right? Course in Miracles says, the kingdom of heaven is the awareness of perfect oneness. So you could ask yourself, how would I feel if I was aware of perfect oneness? A question like that's really powerful because you're going to activate something in yourself. It's like you're whispering to your divine self and bringing it out of its sleeping state in that moment. So I've been using this phrase, I am free right now in heavenly reality. Can you carry that mantra in your heart? And anything that implies you're not free, take conscious ownership of that mistake the ego's implying and say, no, not in the kingdom. No imperfection exists where I am. And then see perfection in its place. And then take a minute to feel that perfection happening within you. To feel the joy of it, right? So these would be the two primary ways that we practice kingdom consciousness. One, actively look for the perfection everywhere. Admire, right? Adore, be in wonder of, be in awe of, be in reverence of the marvelous intelligence happening all around you. That's seeing the kingdom. But then secondly, disregard all thoughts that are not absolutely necessary to think. Any unnecessary thoughts, do your best to just turn your attention away from that. Is that more important than self-attention? Is this thought more important than self-attention? And if the answer is no, you don't really need to think about it, right? Practical things, practical reminders come and go very quickly. But the thoughts your ego wants you to dwell upon, the stories, you know, recognize how totally unnecessary they are. In that recognizing, there's a natural disinterest that happens. And so this is how our attention is gradually pulled from duality and separation to kingdom consciousness, unity consciousness. This is what the Course describes, right? When it says, to be in the kingdom is merely to place your full attention on it. Merely to place your full attention on the kingdom is how you exist in that kingdom, how you see that kingdom as Jesus saw it. So let's get in the habit of doing that, yeah? Let's get in the habit of just being in awe of the universe we're in, because truly, the more that we become intimate with the world of form, we begin to translate that dream into heaven, because we start recognizing that God is appearing in everything. Everything we see is a divine idea in the mind of God, and that makes it sacred, right? That makes it holy and worthy to be loved. So again, we can do all of these Kundalini practices that we want, but if our heart is not leading the way, we can't raise Kundalini, right? Because she awakens in direct response to the demand we're putting on the heart chakra. And these practices we're discussing here, falling in love with the truth of reality, falling in love with the perfection of your being, you know, these are tremendously heart-opening practices, the most heart-opening practices. They are activating your awareness of oneness. So let's never forget that that is our primary vehicle to fourth density consciousness. Self-attention, we could say, is both the destination that we're aiming for, and it's the way and the path to that destination. Meaning, how do we arrive at the state of permanent kingdom consciousness, permanent self-attention? How do we get there? Well, we practice it, right? As with anything else. How does a good golfer become a professional golfer? Through lots and lots of practice. When we fall in love with the practice is when it actually stops being a practice. Like, you don't have to say, oh, I need to go practice this or that, if you're passionate and in love with it. You know, you don't need to go practice painting if you just love painting. You can't help yourself, right? But want to go paint in all your free time. I promise you that this practice of self-attention, of kingdom consciousness, is so much more lovable than any hobby in the world you could become passionate about. It's the most satisfying and rewarding practice you could ever undertake. And so very quickly, as you do it and you start to feel yourself in the perfect universe, in the kingdom, you don't want to be anywhere else, right? It has this immense gravity, or like a snowball rolling downhill. The more it rolls, the bigger it gets. The bigger it gets, the more mass and weight that it has, and the faster that it rolls. So it's really just a little consistency that we're ever lacking in these practices. If we can just really devote our life for a few weeks and months to a practice like this, you're gonna start feeling that spiritual momentum rolling downhill into the kingdom, and then it doesn't require any effort on your part. There's just this natural pull towards kingdom consciousness. There's just a natural sort of repulsion towards all the thoughts where ego's implying imperfection. It's like, oh, I know a universe so much better than that. I don't want to see that universe. I know that there is a perfect universe already now at hand. And again, it will appear when the inner world and the outer world cease to be a separate thing, right? When we exalt form to its highest divine essence, then we see the kingdom, because these forms are the kingdom. right? We have an imagination of what it should look like. We're already in it. As Jesus said, it's already spread out upon the earth, but men are unaware of it. So it's kind of this funny like picture of, you know, somebody walking through the most gorgeous heavenly mansion, and they're just not noticing the beauty and splendor all around them. And they're like complaining about, you know, when's my lunch break or something. Like, yo, you might want to start paying attention to where you are, because if you could see where you are, you'd be indescribably happy, right? Made a post this week that says, happiness is the self knowing its own perfect wholeness. When you come to know your own perfect wholeness, you can't help but be happy always. What reason would you have to be sad if you know that yourself is perfect and whole and complete? So again, we can't know that about ourselves if we're not knowing it about the universe about us, and striving to see that the universe about us is ourself, every bit as much as the body and the mind. The world we see is ourself pushed out, as Neville says. Ourself pushed out means our perception of who we are being seen in form, right? When you do not know who you are, when you feel yourself to be separate, then you see a universe of separation. Everything appears threatening and fearful and separate. But when you know yourself to be one with the Father, then you see, oh, this is my Father's world. I'm not walking in a scary, threatening, separate, imperfect universe. I'm already in my Father's world. And my Father loves his Son, as the Course says. So that's kingdom consciousness, making the inside as the outside. Perfection out there implies perfection in here, and vice versa. So we can use the world of form as this amazing tool and vehicle to catapult our consciousness into the fourth density if we're striving to see perfection in everything.